And as you're being seated, you can find your place in your Bibles if you brought those this morning. And we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 this morning. And we will be there momentarily. And this week, I have gone back and forth between three different thoughts that I had, two of which go together. This thought that we're going to look at this morning, and a thought that I will save for a couple of weeks from now. And then I had another thought that I was looking at and reading, and it was something that was triggered because of something Zena had said in one of her text messages. And so my mind has been kind of all over the place this week with what I was going to bring to us this morning, but I believe this would be what the Lord would have for us, and believe it would be helpful and beneficial to us here this morning. And, you know, one of the most honest questions that a person can ask themselves is this. That is, how do you keep going? How do you keep going? Because life will wear on you. Ministry will test you. People will disappoint you. The devil will fight you. Your flesh will drag on you. And sometimes, and we need to get this established right out of the gate, even good people get tired. Even good people get tired. And recently, I was asked this question, and I forget where I saw it. It was something I was reading, but they asked the question, and sure enough, when I went back to actually find the spot where I read it, for the life of me, I couldn't find it, but I remember the question. The question was this: what motivates you to keep going in the ministry? What motivates you to keep going in the ministry? Now, that's a fair question. And this morning, I want to answer that question, but I don't just want to answer it as a preacher or as a pastor. I want to answer it as a Christian, because this question of how do you keep going, this question of what motivates you to keep going in the ministry or whatever it is you're working at, it's not just a pastor's question. It's not just a preacher's question. It's not just a missionary's question. It's a church member's question. It's a Sunday school teacher's question. It's a parent's question. It's a widow's question. It's a burdened saint's question. And this is a question for every child of God who has ever gotten weary in the way. Now, one of the other thoughts I was looking at this week was Numbers chapter 20 and Numbers chapter 21. And we're going to look at that in a couple of weeks. But in Numbers chapter 20 and chapter 21, chapter 21 specifically, there's a phrase there that says, "And the people were discouraged because of the way." And without getting too much into the detail, the way in that passage, where they were traveling, through desert. And so it was a very troublesome path. It was a very troublesome terrain that they had to travel. And they became discouraged because of the way. And sometimes as Christians, as child of God, as children of God, we can get discouraged because of the way. We can get weary in the way. And now I thank God this morning that as a 9-year-old boy on August 1st, 1999, that I was saved. I thank God that He dealt with my heart, that He brought me to Himself. But then, of course, you know, after being saved and as a teenager, I got out of church for a time. And but I thank God that I had a faithful pastor who He kept coming after me. He kept loving me. He kept praying for me, and he would not just let me drift away without trying to help me. And, you know, when I look back now, and this is the other thought I was having this week, as I thought about, as I look back over my life, that I can see the hand of God in all of that life. I can see God working when maybe I did not fully understand it or I did not fully realize it. And God was dealing when I was resisting, and God was guiding when I was wandering. And in his mercy, God not only kept after me, but he called me. And so when somebody asks that question, well, how do you keep going? Well, the answer is simple. And the answer is not because I am strong. And the answer for you is not because you are strong. The answer is not, well, because life has been easy. The answer is not because ministry has always been rewarding. No, the answer is this, and that is that when we remember what Christ has done for us, that is what keeps us going. When we remember the goodness of God, when we remember how good the Savior is, that's what keeps us going. And that's exactly where the Apostle Paul is here in our text this morning. And we find the Apostle Paul, he's not boasting. He's not advertising himself. He's not celebrating his own ability. In fact, we find Paul, he's looking back. He's remembering. He's reflecting. And we find a man who is, he's not bragging on himself. He is bragging on the Lord. He's bragging on Jesus. He's bragging on God. And Paul says, and we're going to see this, he says, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord. Before Paul ever talks about ministry, he talks about Jesus. Before he ever talks about serving, he talks about the Savior. Before he talks about what he is doing, he talks about what Jesus has done. And folks, this morning, that's where you and I need to get to the place of, is that before we start bragging on ourselves, we brag on Jesus. We brag on God. We brag on what he has done, and that without him, we could do nothing without him. And that is where every one of us ought to be this morning. If we're still standing, it's Jesus who did it. If we're still serving, it's Jesus who did it. If we're still faithful, it's Jesus who did it. If we're still going, it's Jesus who did it. And in one verse here in our text, Paul gives us some of the very things that will keep a person going in the work of God. And through the direct application is to ministry. And that's what it is. This is a pastoral epistle. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, it is written to pastors. And that is what the context is, and the application is in the ministry. The overall truth, however, reaches further than just the pulpit. It reaches further than just the ministry. And these are the same truths that can help a Sunday school teacher keep going. These are the same truths that can help a parent keep going. These are the same truths that can help a widow to keep going, that can help a weary saint to keep going. These are truths that can just help your everyday church member to keep on going. And so you found your place there, 1 Timothy chapter 12, or chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And notice there, if you would, beginning in verse number 12. The Bible says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern of them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invincible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith hath made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. You notice that phrase there in verse number 12, where Paul says, "And I thank God, for I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in to the ministry." And with that thought in mind, I'd like to preach you just this very simple thought: how to keep going. How to keep going. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we do thank you for this day. And Lord, we do thank you now for your love and your mercy towards us. And Father, now we just pray that you would meet with us in a special and real way, that you would be with this service. And Lord, today we just pray now you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. And may they be a help and an encouragement and a challenge to these your people. And Lord, if there be one here this morning that know not Christ as their Savior, we pray they not leave this church without getting that settled, 100% sure that Christ is their Savior and that heaven is their home. And now, Lord, we just pray that if there's someone here this morning, they need encouragement, they need to hear from you. We pray, Lord, they'd find that encouragement. And Lord, just thank you for bringing everybody here that is here this morning. Be with those that cannot be here, for those that are traveling and for those that are sick. And Lord, we just pray you touch them and bring them back safely to us sooner rather than later. And now, Lord, just be with our service and meet with us in the mighty way as only you can is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We have the Apostle Paul here, and he is writing to Timothy. And he refers to Timothy as his son in the faith. And Timothy has been left in Ephesus to confront false doctrine. He has been left there to establish sound teaching. He has been left there to help bring order to the church. And this letter that we're reading from Paul to Timothy is not a casual letter. It is a pastoral charge from one pastor, one older pastor, seasoned pastor in the ministry, and he is now writing to a younger pastor in Timothy. And Timothy is ministering in a very difficult place. He's ministering to some very difficult people in a time when truth is already under attack. And earlier in the chapter, Paul warns against those who had turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, but not truly understanding what they were saying. Notice there, if you would, verse number 6 there, 1 Timothy chapter 1. Or let's begin at verse number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. And I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity or love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. from which having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. And so Paul here, he's saying here that they're teaching, but they don't really understand what they're saying. They were misusing scripture. And in doing so, they were promoting confusion. They were drawing attention away from the true purpose of the law and the glorious gospel of Christ. And so the chapter begins with a contrast between empty religion and sound doctrine. And folks, we need to understand this morning that there are many churches that are meeting today that all they have is an empty religion. They're gathering in the quote unquote name of Jesus as they so see him, but it is false. It is empty. It offers them nothing. And they are just tossing aside sound doctrine. And then beginning in verse number 12, Paul turns from the teaching, and now he turns it personal. And we see here he does not defend his apostleship by boasting his education, his zeal, or his background. Instead, he begins with gratitude. Verse number 12, again, you notice how it begins. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul is looking back over his own life. He's looking back over his own ministry. And in doing so, he gives Timothy, and really all of us, a testimony of just what the grace of God can do. Because Paul here, he remembers what he used to be. He remembers who he used to be before grace, before salvation. And you notice there, verse number 13, he says, who was before grace, before salvation, before Christ? Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious? That's who he was before grace found him. But then you see there the colon, and then he says, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord Jesus was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Paul says and shows us here he had not just merely been indifferent to Jesus. He was a man, he was a person who actively opposed Christ. And yet God showed him mercy. And this is one of the major truths that we have in this passage. And that is this morning, listen, God does not call perfect people. He doesn't call perfect people. He shows mercy to sinful people. He saves them by his grace. And then he uses them for his glory. It amazes me. You look down through history and you look at some of the people God has used through history. And it was never the proud person. It was never the one who boasted in themselves. It was always the person who said, if it wasn't for the grace of God, where would I be? Verses 12 through 17, they're very much autobiographical in nature. Paul is rehearsing his own conversion. He's rehearsing his own calling. Again, not to magnify himself, but to magnify the grace of God and the grace of Christ. And he's showing to Timothy that if God could save and use a man like Paul, then no case is hopeless. No person is hopeless. No labor for Jesus is in vain. No labor for the Lord is empty. And so Paul here, he presents himself as a pattern of the long suffering of Christ, a living example that Jesus Christ came into the world. Notice there, verse number 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That is why Christ came into this world, to save sinners, to save you and to save me. That's why he came. Without him, we wouldn't be here this morning. We would be lost and undone. We would be on our way to a very real place called hell. And then in verses 18 through 20, to 12 through 17, it's autobiographical in nature. Paul's recounting his life. And then in verses 18 through 20, the passage shifts from Paul's testimony to now Timothy's charge. And so Paul has given his testimony and was showing Timothy, okay, if God can use me, he can use anybody, and nobody is helpless. And now in verses 18 through 20, he's saying, okay, now Timothy, here's what your job is. Here's what you have to do for the Lord. And Paul reminds Timothy that ministry is not a playground. He reminds him that it's a battlefield. Notice verse number 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou might by them mightest war a good warfare. He tells him to war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. In other words, this morning, Timothy must not only preach right, he must live right. He must not only contend for truth outwardly, but he must guard his walk inwardly. And Paul then gives a sobering warning in verse number 20. And he names two people, Hymenaeus and Alexander, men who had put away a good conscience, and it says they were made shipwreck in verse number 19 concerning the faith. And their lives serve as a reminder that, listen, it's possible to start out in the right direction, but then somewhere along the way, wreck your testimony if faith and conscience are abandoned. And so our context here of these verses is simple. Christ saved us. Christ enabled us. Christ put us into ministry. Christ showed mercy to me. And so because of that, Timothy, because Christ saved you, because Christ enabled you, because Christ called you into the ministry, because Christ showed mercy to you, then Timothy, do not quit, but fight the good fight, hold the faith, and keep a good conscience. And that's what makes this text perfect this morning, for such a thought on how to keep going. Because the context is not ease, it's not comfort, it's not applause. The context is spiritual conflict. It's personal testimony. It's divine mercy. It's steadfast endurance. And so this morning, when you feel tired, when you feel burdened, when you feel discouraged, when you feel like slowing down, when you feel like giving up, the question becomes, how do you keep going? I want to give you several thoughts this morning on how to keep going. Number one, remember who enables you. Remember who enables you. Again, verse number 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Bible says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Listen, this morning, you keep going when you remember that God never asked you to live the Christian life in your own strength. Somebody might be here this morning, you might be saying, listen, I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm worn out. So was Paul. Some might say this morning, I'm weak. So did Paul. Some might say, well, I don't know if I can handle everything. Here's the good news. You can't handle everything. But God can. It's like a lamp that's plugged into the wall. The lamp shines, but the power is not in the lamp. The power is in the source. And listen, this morning, you and I, we are not the source. Christ is the source. God is the source. And you might be here this morning. You might be trying to keep going on personality or habit or stubbornness. One day you will eventually collapse. But this morning, if you will lean on Christ, if you will lean on God, then you can keep going when others wonder, man, how are they still standing? Because it's not me. It's not you. It's Him and Him alone. And so first this morning, remember who enables you. And then secondly this morning, remember who called you. Remember who called you. And listen, this morning, God does not call the able, but He enables the called. One of the things my dad, he always likes to say, He doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. And the Christian life is not sustained by human energy, but by heavenly enablement. And when your strength runs out, guess what? Good news. His does not. You may be emptied out, but thank God Christ is never dried up or dried out. And so we have to remember who called you. Verse number 12 again. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me. Last part of it. Putting me into the ministry. Putting me into the ministry. Ephesians 2:10, the Bible says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. One thing that helps you to keep going is remembering. Remembering that we're not here by accident. That God has a purpose for your life. And listen, this morning, you may not stand behind a pulpit or travel as a missionary, but God has placed you somewhere. In your home, in your church, in your workplace, in your family. Whatever your sphere of influence is, that is where God has placed you. We think about Esther this morning. And Esther was placed in the palace, the Bible says, for such a time as this. She did not choose every detail of her circumstances, but God had positioned her right where He wanted her. And listen, you might not get to choose or know every detail of your circumstance, but if God has placed you there, you can trust Him, because He's never going to let you, go. He's going to be with you there each step of the way. And so often, and we look throughout Scripture and times that God has called somebody. I believe it's Abram this morning. He said, he told Abram, pack up and just leave and go to a place which I will tell you. In other words, Abram, just pick up, travel, and when you get to the place, that's when I'll tell you you're at the place. Could you imagine if God told us that? We want to know, okay, God, when am I leaving? How am I getting there? Where am I going? What time do I need to be there? And we'd have a million questions for Him. Sometimes we just need to, when God tells us something, just do it and listen to Him. And just do what it is He called us to do. God positioned her, and so too has He done with us. And perhaps there's somebody here this morning, maybe you're tired of where God has you. A burdened parent, A praying grandparent, a faithful widow, a worker nobody sees, a servant laboring behind the scenes. Listen, do not despise the place where God has planted you. Stay faithful where God has put you. Remember who enables you. Remember who called you. And then thirdly, this morning, resolve to be faithful. Resolve to be faithful. Verse number 12 again, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful." I want you to know something this morning. God saved you on purpose and for a purpose. There are no accidental Christians in the will of God. If God placed you there, do not run from what he has assigned you to. The will of God is not always easy, but it's always right. Listen, there's no safer place than to be right in the middle of God's will. 1 Corinthians 4:2, the Bible says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." You know, this morning, God never asked for us as believers to be spectacular. He asked for us to be faithful. Faithful in church. Faithful in prayer. Faithful to the word. Faithful in witnessing. Faithful in worship. Faithful to our family. Faithful to our spouse. Faithful in the little things. That's all he's ever asked us to be, is faithful. A farmer does not plant seed one day and reap harvest the next. He keeps sowing. He keeps watering. He keeps waiting. He keeps believing. And in due season, there is fruit. Some here this morning are discouraged because you don't see immediate results. But you need this encouragement this morning. You don't have to see everything God is doing to know that he is working. Keep going. Keep praying. Keep serving. Keep attending. Keep loving. Keep obeying. You say, why should we stay faithful? Because there are some things worth staying faithful for. And listen this morning, faithfulness is not flashy. Faithfulness is not going to get your name in lights, but it is powerful. And listen, God is not looking for celebrities in the church. He's looking for saints who will stick with it and stay with it and stay by the stuff. Much of the Christian life is, listen, and this is true of anything, much of life is just showing up. Standing up and staying at it. And listen, a lot of victory this morning is simply just refusing to quit. Just refusing to throw in the towel. And then fourthly this morning, we need to rejoice in souls saved. One thing that keeps the church going is seeing that the gospel still works. Luke 15:10, the Bible says there's joy in the presence of angels. I'm sorry, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. We need to be reminded this morning that every soul matters. Every conversion matters. Every testimony of grace matters. Now listen, the devil wants the church to think that witnessing does not work, that soul winning does not work, that it doesn't matter anymore, that the invitation does not matter anymore, that gospel tracts don't matter anymore, that prayer for the lost don't matter anymore. But every time a sinner gets saved, heaven says it still matters. And when one sinner comes to Christ, it's worth every prayer, it's worth every tear, it's worth every burden, it's worth every effort. And listen, you may not see crowds, but listen, never lose your joy over one soul that gets saved. And listen, a church that loses its burden for souls is a church that has forgotten why it is here. look again there, verse number 15. The Bible says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Christ came into the world to save sinners. And his means of seeing souls come to Christ is through the local New Testament church. He is the founder of the church. He is the reason we are here. And the reason we're here is to see men, women, boys, and girls come to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Everything else is secondary. The fellowship is secondary. The building is secondary. The offering is secondary. The finances, secondary. The purpose of the church is that souls get saved, is that people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And unfortunately today, too many churches, they've forgotten that. And they've become glorified social clubs. And people come and they have... years ago, Tom Rainer, he once wrote an article, Autopsy of a Deceased Church. And too many churches, they start to have, they don't look at the church as outsiders anymore because they've been here so long. And so they stop seeing it from a visitor's point of view. And they stop seeing it from you know, reaching people, and they become comfortable. And comfortableness leads to complacency. And complacency just leads to, That's why we need to make sure we never lose our heart, our burden, or our passion for souls. That's one of the pastor's job, that my job is to see things from an outsider's perspective. Is that to see, okay, are we doing everything we can to reach souls for Christ? And listen, you may forget many hard days in church life, but you'll never forget seeing somebody genuinely come to Christ. And those moments are what can put strength back in your soul. So this morning, keep inviting people. Keep praying. Listen, you have lost family. You have lost friends. Keep praying for them. Keep handing out tracts. Keep witnessing and keep believing God to save souls. And not only do souls being saved help us to keep going, but then number five this morning, rejoice in lives changed. Rejoice in lives changed. You see, salvation is not only about escaping from hell one day. It's not just a get out of hell free card. It's about God changing lives right now. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And listen, one of the great motivations to keep going is to watch God do what only God can do. He can take the broken and he can mend them. He can take the bitter and soften them. He can take the wandering and restore them. He can take those who are bound and free them. And the gospel, listen, the gospel does not just forgive the past, but it changes the future. And when God saves a man, he changes more than his destination. He changes his direction. And every changed life is a sermon that God is still working. You know, sometimes the world can look at a person and they might say, oh man, you know, so-and-so, they're never going to change. But then the grace of God steps in and says, watch what God can do. Maybe today you're here and you're praying for somebody and it feels hopeless. Don't quit praying. Don't give up on them. Because you never know that day that they'll come and trust Christ as their Savior and have their life changed. as a result. And if God can save Saul and make him Paul, then he can still change lives today. And then number six, and finally this morning, rejoice in mission supported. Rejoice in missions supported. The work of God is so much bigger than one church building. It's so much bigger than one town. Philippians 1:5, the Bible says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." You know, one of the things that can keep us going is knowing that when we give and when we pray and when we support missions, we are being a part of something much bigger than ourselves. Missionaries are sent. Bibles are distributed. Churches are planted. Children hear the gospel. Families are reached. Nations are touched. Places that you and I could never go, they're getting the gospel. And missionaries, listen, they're giving up their ease of comfort and their life here in America to go somewhere to a foreign land so that people might know Christ. A missions-hearted church is a church with forward vision. Again, we don't just look at our church and our little town and our little slice of where the Lord has us. We see the big picture. And when we support missions, listen, when you put that offering in the offering plate and you give towards a missionary, you're not just, "Oh, well, there goes, you know, my money for the week." No, you're investing in eternity. When somebody gets saved, when someone gets baptized, when someone gets called into the ministry, we have a part in that by giving to the Lord. And listen, we may never stand in every nation, but by missions, we can still have a part in reaching them. A single candle may only light a room, but when the flame is passed from candle to candle, well then the light begins to spread far beyond where it started. And folks, this morning, that is what missions does. Listen, we're just one candle this morning, trying to reach one little place in Sayre, Pennsylvania. But when we take the candle and we pass it on to all of our missionaries, well then all of a sudden the light is going around the world. And so this morning, again, next week, we're going to have our Missions Emphasis Sunday, and we're going to receive our faith promise cards. And listen, don't lose sight of the fact that your giving matters, your praying matters, your mission support matters. Because listen, there's somebody today on the mission field and they're still going because a local church kept giving. And if you're not giving to missions, man, you're missing out on the blessings of God. Because he will bless and bless. Listen, we've seen it time and time again that when you give to missions, you make missions a priority, God takes care of everything else. And you never lack. So how do you keep going this morning? You keep going by remembering. Remembering who enables you. Remember who called you. Remember why faithfulness matters. Remember that souls are still being saved. Remember that lives are still being changed. Remember that missions are still being supported. And like Paul, as Paul said, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord." That is the key. And so this morning, when you get your eyes on people, guess what? You're going to get discouraged. When you get your eyes on your circumstances, you're going to get weary. When you get your eyes on yourself, you'll get defeated. But when you keep your eyes back on Christ, you find strength to keep going. And so this morning, do not let a hard season make you forget a faithful Savior. Do not let present burdens erase past blessings. Do not let weariness make you waste the life that God has given you. Keep going. Keep praying. Keep giving. And listen, not because it's always easy, but because Christ, because God, is always worth it. He's always worthy. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together to our feet.